Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Former Kid of the Week and one of the world's great people is here, and I want you to be able to hear her story, Mary Kay Callahan. Some of you remember from other times that she's been on this radio station. I don't think just on this show. She's done other shows as well.
She has done more
she's
today
cheating on me
than we have do in a week.
Yeah, like, there's no question about it. The great Mary Kate Callahan. You'll hear her story and what she's up to now in just a second. I want to go back to the choir. Are they ready?
Yeah, this is our final song with them.
All right, so here you go. It's the Antioch High School Choir. By the way, I just got a text from someone that says the Antioch High School Magical Choir Christmas music is great. They're on the Steve Cochran Show right now. I don't think this person knew they were texting me.
That's awesome.
But thank you for that. And let's see what song they're going to do next here on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, sing out in this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12, when I'm fast asleep, down the chimney broad and black, with your pack you'll creep. All the stockings you will find hanging in a row, mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know. Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled, Nanny wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave to you what to give the rest. Choose me to Santa Claus, you will know the best.
It gets better every time. It just gets continually better every time. I don't know if they know this, but they're really good.
They're very good. That was
they're really good. Give you guys, give yourselves a round of applause. Come on, let me hear it. So who do we need to thank? The Antioch High School Magical Choir.
Yeah, we've got Johnny, Mary's brother-in-law, or son-in-law, which I don't know how to say his last name.
Unch. Johnny Unch.
Johnny Unch.
Yeah, and Trey Hickey. He's and I believe Pete Zimmerman asked them to sing one line of
of one of Pete's favorites.
Yeah.
And are you guys ready to do the one line thing? Trey says no.
Oh no. Okay.
Trey, when you say no, are you talking to me or are you talking to them?
I'm talking to you.
No. Okay.
Oh. All right.
It would have been a great idea, though. Let's just say that.
Yeah. It may have been a joke that I took literally. So that's I'm just realizing that on the air.
And we're what's the answer for our lovely and helpful listener? Do you guys sell the CDs of your performances anywhere? Because most musicians get exploited and don't get any money. And I think we should keep that tradition up. And we want to support the high school choir. So I tell you what, you guys, Trey, Johnny, let me know if you can buy your music anywhere, because a lot of people are asking.
I know if you go to their website, you can see where they're performing, which is like an endless list of places in Lake County.
They seem like really nice kids, too. Did you notice?
Yeah, they were a perky, happy group.
I'm an honorary Antioch High School alum because I...
Because you live near
no,
there?
No, because we did a Hometown Voices in Antioch a couple years back, and the download did. And
did they do the sword ceremony where they tap you on each shoulder and then on top of that?
I met all the high school football team, and we did a lot with the Antioch High School, but it's... So I feel like I already know these kids.
Well, you know, there's always one in every group. I looked over them. I don't think there's one in this group. They're all good.
They're all good.
They're all good. Yeah. So, thank you guys. Thank you again for being here. If you go to MaryKateCallahan.com, you can see even deeper life stories and things about Mary Kate, who is here now. And by the way, Callahan is Callahan. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited to be back.
Well, it's nice to see you. Let's quickly remind people of your story. In 1995, you're 5.5 months old, and a viral, if I'm wrong about this, tell me, because I'm going off notes and memory here, but a viral infection got into your spine. And since that moment, that part of it wasn't fixable, and you became a paraplegic.
Yep. Shortly after the onset of transverse myelitis. Originally, I was a quadriplegic, so I couldn't use my arms. And as you can see today, I use my upper body for everything. So I'm lucky I was able to gain that function back.
Yeah, we got chairs in here that are about 3 feet tall. And you go, yeah, I got it. And she hops out of the wheelchair and up into the chair like nothing. But, there's a separate topic here. But people all day, and I know you're used to this, but people all day run into you or other people that deal with a wheelchair, and they don't know what to say. Well, if somebody wants to, sees you crossing a street and go, can I push or whatever, do you like that kind of help? Do you not want people to say anything? What is that like?
Yeah, I usually, the best piece of advice I say is always ask, because I know everyone is different in terms of what they want help with and what they don't need help with. I'm definitely the stubborn person who's always like, I'll figure it out, I got it, I'll do it myself, until the point I'm like on the ground falling, and then I'm like, okay, I probably should have asked for help. But I think when you ask, that shows that you care and you want to be able to help that person.
So ask.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
And whether they say yes or no, I think at the end of the day, you're going to be educated about what someone with a disability can or cannot do. So,
yeah, and one thing I always remind people of, and it's a little different with my brother has special needs, but it's like, you know your condition. So mm-hmm. somebody doesn't need to go, don't feel awkward.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Yeah, and I always say that everyone's their best self advocate. So I think, as I've grown up the last 23 years, I've been able to really figure out what I can and can't do. And then I'm able to advocate for myself when someone asks if I need it or if
trying to find something you can't do.
Yeah.
Recent graduate of the University of Arizona, works in the HR department, is a big shot at Motorola Solutions. I think one of the coolest things you did, you got several other girls into the state swimming finals through your advocacy, right?
Yeah, I think, going back to self-advocacy, I think when you believe in something so strongly, you're going to figure out a way to make it happen. And that's exactly how it played out with the Illinois High School Sports Association lawsuit. Sport has and continues to be a big part of my life. And I've seen the benefits of sport, both as an athlete and just in your everyday life. And in high school, I chose to go to Fenwick because of the swim team. And I was on that team just like every other athlete, but the Illinois High School Sports Association told me I can't compete at the sectional or state level due to my disability. The reasons they were giving out were kind of bizarre, saying we were safety hazards, we shouldn't be considered athletes, you name it. It was probably said.
It was about their liability, right?
Right.
Not taking into account the type of athlete you were.
Right, and you know, at the time, there were 8 of us swimming on the high school teams across the state of Illinois, and 6 of us had represented the United States on some level, but we're not being allowed to represent our own high school. So
brag a little bit. How good a swimmer were you then? I'm talking about not just now, but then.
I was racing on like junior international teams at that point in the sport of just swimming. Since then, I've kind of expanded into the sport of triathlon, but I always will have a special place in my heart for swimming because it's I got in the water shortly after my onset of transverse myelitis, and you know, when you're in the water, you're not in your wheelchair, so it's a really special environment. You don't feel like you have a disability. I can actually walk in the water, so I think the water will always be a special place for me.
Yeah, and this may be a stupid question, so pardon me if it is, but I've certainly asked I've asked him before. I'll ask him again, because it's all you know. I mean, you certainly don't remember, and you were 5.5 months old. Is it a more of a transition or less for you because you grew up this way?
Yeah, I think it's definitely less of a transition. And, you know, I have friends who acquired their disability later on in life. And, you know, they knew what life was like before they had their disability. They were in their jobs before they had a disability and suddenly had to relearn how to do all the basics of just living, going about your daily life from driving to being a parent to exercising. I mean, they had to really relive that. For me, I thought every kid had a purple wheelchair. So it wasn't much of a transition for me. And I think growing up with it, I've been able to learn to adapt much easier.
Yeah, I'd say that's, you probably got that part down.
Mary Kate, you are an elite para triathlete. You are training to be included in the Paralympics 2020 in Tokyo. Let's talk about the red. How do you do that? Talk about the training. I'm always with elite athletes in particular, what you go through on a daily basis to
and
get
a full time employee.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So to be a triathlete, what are the kind of things you have to do to train to even consider yourself elite?
Yeah, so to kind of back it up just a bit, within the sport of triathlon, I swim, bike, and run. So I swim using my upper body. I have a hand cycle bike that I use on the bike portion, and then I have a racing chair, which is, if you've seen the Chicago Marathon or any other marathon, that's the kind of device that they're using in that.
Right.
So it's all my upper body. So in 2012, I raced in my first triathlon, qualified for world championships, and have been racing on that international stage kind of since. Traveling the world, we race around 5 to 8 times in all places, everywhere, literally from Japan to Australia, you name it, we've probably been there. But you know, the training is something that with triathlon, you're doing two to three of the sports a day, and it's so different, and I think it definitely keeps you on your toes. And that's what I think has kept me in the sport for so long, is because of the variation that the sport provides.
What time do you get up to do this?
Early. I'm an early riser, so I usually am up between 4 and 4:30. The gym opens at 5, so I try to get an early swim in prior to going to the office, or if I work from home, and then after work as well. So
the reason I'm laughing is because the able-bodied folks who are sitting around going, I should go to the gym, but I'm super tired.
We're the crazy ones, though.
So you're out there at 4 o'clock. Swimming for a triathlon, how do you get your other training in, especially in the winter?
Indoors. So in the winter, for example, I have an indoor bike trainer. So it's pretty much like any other bike trainer that an able-bodied person would use. I just hook my front wheel up, and then I throw on a movie or something.
How cool is that?
And then for my racing chair, it's like a big giant cylinder that my rear wheels go on. And again, it's like a treadmill for my racing chair.
What do you need to do to get on the USA team for 2020?
Yeah, so the qualifying races have not been announced yet. We're hoping it'll be announced within the next couple months. But if it reflects what was in place for 2016, it'll be an accumulation of your world ranking from the year prior. So our qualifying period will start in 2019 this year and run through the summer of 2020 right before the games. So obviously we need to race well in those World Series races, and then there'll be a couple specific qualifying events that we can earn an individual spot there.
Are you guys ranked ahead of time? Like, do you know what your chances are? I mean, obviously you have no lack of appropriate self-confidence, but do you feel good about it?
I mean, the sport's gotten so competitive over the last 2 to 3 years.
We're talking about the entire world here.
Yeah, that's exactly what we want for the sport. And unfortunately for the women's wheelchair classification, our event was not a medal event in Rio. So we had the heartbreak of, you know, training for something for so long, and then the decision was totally out of our control that we would not be racing in the Rio Paralympic Games.
Why would it not be a medal event?
Yeah, so the sport is, yeah.
I mean, what kind of a decision is that?
Yeah, it was hard because it was totally out of our control. And, you know, the sport of paratriathlon is really new, and so they only gave X amount of medals out in Rio, and so with classifications they had to pick and choose which classifications were going to be represented. So unfortunately our classification was not represented, but you know, I think that decision just fuels my fire and fuels me heading into 2020.
You're amazing. Question here. My brother has transverse myelitis. He was diagnosed in his 30s and has continued nerve pain. Does that vary person to person?
Yeah, so I've transverse myelitis is actually more common with people that are older. It's very rare that someone as young as I was acquires transverse myelitis, but I've seen that people who get transverse myelitis later on in life definitely deal with more of the nerve pain. And I've never, I guess, have ever had to deal with a nerve pain, but
so that's not unusual. So
yeah, no, it's not
unfortunate, but not unusual.
Yeah.
A couple of minutes left here with Mary Kate Callahan. Let's go forward before we go backward. What's your next event?
So I just got back from Sacramento on Monday. I ran a marathon over there just for fun. In my off season, I like to just squeeze in a marathon, and I had a World Cup during the Chicago Marathon, so I didn't race there, so I headed over to Sacramento. Had that. So now I'm kind of in an off season, and I'll kick off the season again in March down in Sarasota, Florida at a Continental Championship.
For what you've done for other folks who have gone through some or all of what you go through and what you deal with every day, you don't have to do another nice thing for the rest of your life, but you're an exceptional person. You come from a great family, and I want to mention your family foundation before we finish. So what is the foundation? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so I think over the course of 23 years, I've realized how powerful people are, how powerful stories are. And, you know, shortly after my onset of transverse myelitis, my family wanted to use, I guess, my story and be able to leave an impact on other people. And I think the independence that my family gave me is something that has taken me and will continue to take me through the rest of my life, and has enabled me to race around the world. And, you know, we want to be able to give other people that same independence. So we set up a foundation called the Collada Foundation that not only raises money for spinal cord research, but we also give grants to people who might need an accessible van, who might need their house adapted for a wheelchair, who might need a piece of adaptive equipment, really to give them their independence back that they lost after acquiring type of spinal cord injury. So it's been cool to see not only my family, but the community rally around this cause and really give back to others.
You need volunteers, you need money, you need both?
Both. Right. We love having people out to volunteer. Our big event every year is a golf outing. It took place last August. We love having people come out, golf, go to the dinner, cocktail party. It's a fun event, and it's just a family-driven foundation.
Let me know when you're running your next marathon, because I'll watch it just for fun.
Marathons are exhausting to watch. I've spectated a few, and it's hard work.
We can't imagine. If you're not in it, you must just be bored stiff. It's great to see you again.
Thank you.
Congratulations on everything in life.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming out and talking and all that.
Thank you.
And I know you're going to have a great 2019.
Thank you.
So keep us up to date. And anytime you want to jump on, you know you're welcome here.
Thank you.